Welcome to Locked On Badgers. This is your daily podcast about the Wisconsin Badgers and part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is episode one. My name is Tanner Nessel, and I'm here to talk about the Badgers. Why else would I be here? I'm very, very, very excited because this is episode one, and I'm also very excited because I have a very good friend of mine joining me for episode one. His name is Matthew Cray. I call him Cray. Like, yes, Cray, K-R-E-H, Cray. He is a Clemson Tiger fan. I thought this would be a very interesting angle thing to start off this kind of podcast. I want to talk to Cray about his perception of the Wisconsin Badgers program. Obviously, every Badger fan, you know, they think Wisconsin is this great program. It obviously is. I'm sure Cray would agree. We're going to get into that in a bit. But what do other college football fans think about this? This is going to be a two-part thing. I have Cray on here to talk and give the Clemson fan perspective, and I have somebody else that I'm going to do a little bit later that give a maybe similar, maybe different perspective of everything. Cray, thank you for joining me. I want to get into this before I just babble too much. How are you doing today?
Doing great. You know, God gave us the gift of gab, so we might as well continue to use it. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, just a quick backstory. I grew up in Wisconsin, and then I moved to South Carolina to go to college. That's where I met Cray. He's born and raised in South Carolina. Right? I believe so.
Yeah. Born in Easley, raised in Easley, now in Rock Thrill.
Rock Thrill. That's Rock Hill for all you uncultured people. Very small town that we went to college in. Cray has been a Clemson fan for his entire life. He is as big of a Clemson fan, maybe bigger of a Clemson fan than I am a Wisconsin fan. He's very, very into it. He's very knowledgeable about college football as a whole. I respect a lot of the things that he has to say, unless he talks bad about Wisconsin. But he's not going to do that today, I don't think. We're just going to start generally. What is the outside perception of the Wisconsin football program as a whole to you? Somebody that did not grow up rooting for the Badgers, somebody that didn't really start following them, I don't think, until you met me about 6 years ago now. What do you think about Wisconsin, the Badgers?
Gotcha. So
you have the floor.
Yeah. When I think about Wisconsin, I think I've always had some type of similar perspective to this. I think B+. And, you know, for those of you who I feel like for a lot of people who went through college, that's probably a pretty good grade. So I think B+. This is a rock solid program. And I'm sure we'll get into some of this later, but you know, it takes a couple different metrics to put together a good football program and get as stable as they are. And that's another word that I want to use a lot, stable. But, you know, between recruiting, player development, you're in one of the better conferences in the nation. You know, whether or not it's been the best conference at any point in time is debatable, but it's always in the top two or three. It's never really last. But Wisconsin's one of those teams. They always run the football well. When you think of Wisconsin, you're always going to have a massive offensive line. Joe Thomas is the one that comes to mind. He was Wisconsin, right?
Yes, he was.
He was Wisconsin. And you got Monty Ball. You're always going to have a good running back. Monty Ball, James White, Melvin Gordon. Now you got, dang it, I'm blanking. I shouldn't be blanking.
Jonathan Taylor.
So with Wisconsin, you're always going to have a really powerful running game. And you're always going to have a solid defense as well. Of course, the big names out of Wisconsin, or I know TJ Watt came out of Wisconsin, but their defense is never really terrible. And so that's why I say B+. It's never really anything that blew me out of the water, but it's never going to be an easy out on any given Saturday for any team.
Yeah, and you touched a lot about the way Wisconsin runs the ball. I feel like that is what keeps people sort of like a bit suspicious of Wisconsin, and honestly, it might be what keeps Wisconsin from really going over the top and breaking the B+ to an A or A-, whatever kind of program. What is it from your perspective? You're not going to find too many Wisconsin football fans that are like, oh, we need to start airing it out and doing this and doing that and going away from what makes Wisconsin great for the last, you know, 20 years. But what do you think about just that culture? I mean, not too many power or like big power five schools run the ball as much as Wisconsin. They're as committed to it. It's a really old school offense. Is that something that you think is kind of like, it's outdated. Wisconsin really does need to move on from that. Or I guess just what do you think about that offense? It's very unique to Wisconsin.
It, it's where it starts. And, you know, let's look at Alabama, for instance, one of the premier programs in college football. That's what they love to do. That's what they've always loved to do. They're going to line up. They're going to knock you in the mouth. They're going to beat you in the trenches, and they're going to run the football down your throat. And so if you're going to be a powerful football program, if you're going to be at the top of college football, you have to be able to run the football. You're not going to be able to Mike Leach it and air it out 70 times. How many times has Mike Leach been in the national championship? Zero. I mean, he had some good teams at Texas Tech, Washington State, but you have to be able to run the football if you're going to win football games. It's that simple. That's where it starts. So that's the good thing if you're Wisconsin is you've got a big piece of the puzzle, and I think that's one of the reasons that they've been so stable for so long.
My perception of Clemson, I'm going to kind of throw this back at you now to talk about the Tigers a little bit. My perception of Clemson before the Deshaun Watson and Dabo Sweeney era was that they were kind of where Wisconsin is now, just sort of hanging around like the top 10 to top 20 rankings. I could be wrong. I know Clemson has had better teams in the past and they've like been higher than that in the top 10 and everything, but there was something that happened that like really push Clemson through, and maybe it was just Dabo Sweeney and Deshaun Watson, but is that kind of where Wisconsin is now, is just hanging out, very good but not great? Am I correct in saying that's what Clemson used to be not too long ago?
I think more or less. I mean, Tommy Bowden, and this is where the term Clemsoning was born, and that's a term I'm sure everyone nationally will know. Tommy Bowden was notorious for going 7-1 and then losing to an unranked team that he should never have lost to. And so, I mean, you're right. They're always kind of hanging around in the 15 to 20 range. Some seasons they didn't go ranked ranked at the end of the year. Other seasons they were, and Bowden was always kind of in the middle when it came to recruiting and it came to rankings. And to some extent that's Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin, however, is a little bit better off than where Clemson was then. But if you're thinking about Wisconsin, you're thinking, well, we want to win a national championship. We want to win the Big Ten and be ahead of Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State and Michigan State, depending on the year. That next step, and we'll get into it a little bit more later, is recruiting. Because Clemson took their recruiting from what was probably a B- or B+ up to an A+. And they never have a top five class, if we're being honest, if you want to go look at Clemson's rankings. But they're always getting the guys they want, and they're right outside the top 10. Now, we can talk about something Wisconsin does really well. Wisconsin doesn't have the greatest recruiting class in the world, but player development is a huge, huge part of that. If Clemson's had one top 10 recruiting class in the past decade, I think, just one, which shows you that they have taken what they've had and made the most out of it. And that's something that Wisconsin, from what I can tell, does really well as well. They're really good at taking what they've got and making the most of it. But if you're looking to get to that next level, it all starts in recruiting.
Now, you may or may not know the name Graham Mertz. He's a four-star quarterback from Kansas he's an early enrollee at Wisconsin right now. He just made his Wisconsin debut, so to say, at a halftime show earlier in the week at a basketball game, dancing with the dance team. He's somebody that Wisconsin fans just are so eager to see on the football field. He has a really good shot to start as a true freshman and might be, from what we know now, he's one of the best Wisconsin quarterbacks of all time. We just hope that he's going to kind of break through and help Wisconsin start throwing the ball a little bit better. I'm kind of curious, what would you say really put Clemson over the top? Was it Dabo Sweeney? Was it Deshaun Watson? Or was it just both? Or was it neither and a bunch of other aspects? Like, what do you think is more important to really helping a football program get over the top? Is it the great coach or is it the great quarterback?
Well, of course, both of Clemson's national titles have come under the two best quarterbacks in program history. But it all starts with Dabo. There are a couple different stages to this Clemson era, if you want to talk about that. The first is hiring Dabo. The second is the West Virginia Clemson beatdown, where Clemson went out and hired Brent Venables, and who's become, if not maybe, the best defensive coordinator in the country. And they did lose Chad Morris, their offensive guy, but since then they paid their assistants, they've kept them happy, they built a good culture. And when you can get that quarterback in there, it takes you over the top, which is what you saw this year with Lawrence.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence is an animal. He's going to do a lot of great things at Clemson. Only a true sophomore next year. So I'm going to ask you this about Wisconsin now. How close do you think Wisconsin is, I would say, to a college football playoff berth? So not necessarily winning the Big Ten, not necessarily winning a national title, but how close do you think Wisconsin is to making that Final Four?
I know you mentioned this to me about what the, where their recruiting is. I think they are close, and I think you saw that not last year, but the year before, where they made the Big Ten championship. And was that game close, or was it the year before that was the blowout?
You're talking to Ohio State?
Yeah, I know they played in the Big Ten championship game 2 years ago, correct? Wisconsin?
Yes. That game, the final score, I believe, was 26-21. Wisconsin had the football in the fourth quarter and I believe turned it over on downs or time expired. They had the ball and a chance to score a touchdown to win, but couldn't do it.
Yeah, so you're looking at a team that's close and on a year with a favorable schedule can make it to that game and have a chance to go to the playoff because you are in one of the – you're in the better division in the Big Ten. But as far as being there year in and year out and not having to go through a rebuilding year such as this past year where you go 8-5, they're right on the outskirts, knocking on the door. Those improved recruiting classes is what's going to bump them over the top.
And I want to clarify, when you say better division, you mean – easier division to get to the Big Ten championship game, not necessarily more talented. Yeah. Okay. Just to clear that up. It's really tough. You'd like to say that if you win the Big Ten, you make the big, or, you know, win the Big Ten championship game, you go to the playoff, but that hasn't happened the last few years. Ohio State has been the beneficiary and then they got screwed out of it this year, but who knows? In an ideal world, if you take care of business in the Big Ten, like Wisconsin has been really close to doing, then you'd make it. Do you think a Big Ten Wisconsin champion is good enough to be a college football playoff team when there are teams out there like Alabama, Georgia, Clemson? I guess there's a fourth spot there waiting to be had, but.
Absolutely, I do. I think the Pac-12 has been absent and they don't seem to have any there seems to be no evidence that they're trending upwards. Notre Dame they play the toughest out of conference schedule of anyone and they just happen to go undefeated this year. That's not going to happen every year with USC and FSU on their schedule and whatever the ACC rotation is, whatever their out of conference games is, they're probably not going to go undefeated most years. And so that Big Ten champion more often than not is going to get in unless they College Football Playoff Committee pulls some two teams in the same conference garbage again.
Mm-hmm. Something that you're not a fan of as a non-SEC fan.
No, but that's a tangent.
For sure. Okay. So we're going to take a very quick break here. And then when we come back, we're going to just talk about Paul Christ, who is Coach Dad to us Badger fans. And we're going to see what Cray thinks about Paul Christ. All right, welcome back. We're talking now about Paul Christ with Matthew Cray, a good friend of mine from college. He's a Clemson Tiger fan, giving us an outsider's view of the Wisconsin football program. We just talked about the program as a whole. Now we're going to talk about Paul Christ, our head football coach. I guess before I really get into what makes him great or perfect for Wisconsin, I want to know what you think about Paul Christ.
Well, when it comes to Wisconsin and when it comes to Paul Christ, of course, he's only been there 4 years. He's won 10 games, 11 games, 13 games, and then 8 games. You know, he's a lot of the beneficiary of a stable program, but it's also once you get on top, once you get to where they are, it's very difficult to stay on top. And he's been able to do that in his 4 years. But from the outside looking in, Paul Christ really isn't a huge name. You know, it's not someone that has a lot of intrigue about him. He doesn't have, you know, the popular khakis, and he doesn't throw headsets, or at least that I know of. He kind of goes under the radar. He's not a lot of guy that he's not a guy that I feel like a lot of people know about. However, if you look at his postseason performances since he's been a coach, he's 4-0. So with time to prepare, Paul Christ and the crew get it done. But from the outside looking in, he's not the most polarizing figure.
Do you think that that's something Wisconsin kind of needs. I mean, Badger fans would say that Paul Chryst is perfect. The way Wisconsin plays football is very old school, very to the point, not very flashy. And that's pretty much what Paul Chryst is as a person. He's to the point. He's not very eccentric in his interviews or anything like that. He's quick, short answers. Players will say he's a great coach and he's got a great personality off the football field. But, you know, to the general public, he just very, very much embodies the program, you know, as a person. Do you think that that's something, I guess that's sort of, you could go with Nick Saban and say that that works, or you could go with Dabo Swinney and say that the complete polar opposite works. What is it that you like about how Dabo Swinney is pretty much the opposite of what Paul Chryst is, as far as being outgoing and speaks his mind and has a lot of words to say?
I mean, I love it because I love to support good people in sports. And I think Dabo is kind of the embodiment of that. He's not two-faced. What you see is what you get. But with Dabo or with Saban, both figures are polarizing, and they have great recruiting classes. You look at Jim Harbaugh, he's a polarizing figure. Urban Meyer, a polarizing figure. You can have a steak dinner, and it can be delicious, but if you add some seasoning to that steak and maybe replace your potatoes with mac and cheese, I know this sounds like a Southerner speaking, but the dinner gets a little bit more flavor. And I feel like that flavor is something that maybe it's not Paul Chryst that brings it, but an assistant that can take you to that next level in the recruiting game and provide some energy. I feel like Wisconsin sometimes is a program that lacks that kind of energy.
I would agree with that. That's definitely something that we lacked this past season.
All that to say, Chryst is the perfect fit for what Wisconsin is. It's a perfect fit, but if you want to get to that next level, maybe find a way to get some seasoning on that.
Yeah, so and that's kind of like what Wisconsin has to do to get over the top. Can they get over the top if Paul Chryst is going to continue to be the way he is? Not that there's anything wrong with it. I'm not saying I dislike him by any means, but can they get over the top with him, or is he just going to have to change the way he is in order for Wisconsin to go anywhere? Because I don't know. There aren't many football coaches that are like Paul Chryst. Even though Nick Saban is a man of few words, like you said, those words are pretty polarizing. He does every once in a while jump in and say something pretty outlandish to the media.
But
Paul Chryst never does.
A lot of that just comes with winning. You know, a lot of those coaches got so polarizing because they win. And if he can continue to get on that national stage, he will become a more talked about coach. And Wisconsin in that will become a more talked about program.
So now we're going to move into the last thing, and this is sort of jumping off of Paul Chryst and being polarizing with recruiting. We're just going to talk about recruiting as a whole. It's not something that's been at the forefront of Wisconsin Badgers fans, you know, minds, because they're not really in it with the big recruits. But we're going to talk about that in just a little bit with Craig here. All right, we're back. Now we're going to talk about the one thing that I feel like is most important for Wisconsin to get over the hump. That's recruiting. It's something that we've done. I am Wisconsin. I am the Badgers. I'm with them. We have started doing better than ever just this past year, headlined by four-star quarterback Graham Mertz. He's a five-star in our hearts from Kansas. But otherwise, Wisconsin just pretty much scoops up all the three-stars, maybe a four-star here and there, a couple of preferred walk-ons. We'll dabble into Florida, and we got a running back from Texas. We got a linebacker from California that Wisconsin actually beat out Clemson for. His name is Spencer Little. And it pretty much just build up offensive lines from guys from the Midwest. Clemson, as you mentioned earlier, is not a team that usually or in the past has cleaned up in recruiting. They've done well, but they haven't done like Ohio State, Alabama kind of well. That's starting to change a little bit. Clemson's, you know, I would say maybe Clemson's the premier team in college football now, so that's going to start changing for them recruiting-wise. What would you say we kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, the way Wisconsin develops players is maybe out of this world, but at what point is this going to catch up to Wisconsin and start to hurt them? Or do you think that's just not going to happen because of the way Wisconsin is?
Well, the good thing is right now is like I said earlier, Wisconsin right now is stable, and they've been stable for a long time. And just to revert back to Clemson for a second, Dabo Swinney can get those types of classes outside the top 10 because they have such a stable program, because they have depth, because they have guys waiting in the wings. And if you're a Clemson fan, that also shows you that there's another step that Clemson can go to that they haven't hit yet, which is kind of scary. But when you have that stability, you're able to kind of get the guys you want and go out and find Wisconsin guys and guys that fit not only your talent level, but guys that fit the kind of culture that you want to have. And so you can kind of pick and choose, and you're really good at developing. And if you look at Wisconsin, they have their best recruiting class ever, I think. I just flipped through the past 10 years, and right now they're ranked 27th. If you're looking at 24/7 sports, this year's class is 27th. So if you can continue to up that level, you know, go from 36 to 27, go from 27 to 25, start chipping away a little bit, you're starting to get into the SEC type of range where those mid-level SEC teams get the big recruits, and you're the type of team, Wisconsin, that can develop those guys better than the SEC. So continue to climb up those recruiting rankings. This year, 27th, that's a big step.
Yeah, 27, I do believe that is the best. If not, it's right up there with it. And it, like I said, it mostly is because of Graham Mertz. We did sign a five-star offensive tackle from the state of Michigan. And everybody, you would think, if Wisconsin takes three-star guys and develops them into basically four-star or even five-star talent in some cases, you know, guys like J.J. Watt and his brother T.J. Watt, who are, you know, sacking quarterbacks left and right every weekend in the NFL, if they can just bump up a little bit and grab a four-star guy here and there, they can turn those guys into who knows what. But the thing is, you know, obviously it doesn't always work like that, but are those guys still Wisconsin guys anymore? Or do you think that Wisconsin is so well-equipped to develop players that they're just going to keep doing what they're doing? Do you think that I'm just kind of trying to throw this idea off of you. Do you think that it's possible for Wisconsin to not want to improve so much and go after four and five star guys?
You can improve guys to a certain extent, and you may get the 1 year Michigan State playoff experience from a couple of years ago. But if you want to compete at the top level, you need dudes, you know. You need to go out and find a Justin Ross. You need to go out and find a Jerry Jeudy. So improving players can get you to the playoff, but if you're going to want to be there every year and if you're going to want to win national titles and be one of the premier programs, you need dudes. And that means getting some of those five-star guys in the top 50.
So would you say that it's strictly up to just recruiting results for Wisconsin and then breakthrough from that B-plus grade that you said they were to being a team? Well, I guess they're kind of already a team that can consistently contend for the Big Ten, but getting past that point.
That seems to be the only thing that's really lacking right now. I mean, you got the coach. I don't really know about the coordinators, but once you got the head honcho in charge, the coordinators, you know, you can kind of tweak a little bit, but you got the coach. You've got the stability of the program. The third thing, you need the dudes. You know, you need those athletes who are just a step above the rest to go make plays and take you from being 10-3 every year to being 12-1 in a playoff contender.
So I'm going to go back to your experience with Clemson. Was there a point in time, because where I'm sitting right now, if you told me Wisconsin is going to be one of the best teams in the country and will win a national championship, I would be pretty surprised, because the state of the program right now, and I will say there's a lot of hope riding on Graham Mertz that could really do some crazy things with this team. But I would be surprised if you told me that was the case. Back, let's say during the Taj Boyd, Sammy Watkins years at Clemson, which was our freshman year in college, 2012-ish. If somebody told you back then Clemson is on its way to being the team in college football, would you have been surprised?
Maybe a little bit. What would have surprised me is just, you know, growing up as a fan and there's still the mantra of Clemsoning around back in 2012. It's just kind of hard to grasp and hard to believe. But as you know, if you would have looked at the facts, you know, every year they're going up, they got a new defensive coordinator. They've got better recruits than they had the year before. It would have surprised me a little, but it would have been believable, I guess that is to say, based on the trajectory that they were on.
And we kind of maybe indirectly answered this question already, but what is it that Wisconsin needs to do to get over that hump if they're following the Clemson track? They're a very good team to get there. What would you say? Because, I mean, I look at Dabo Swinney as being the key. They just made the change. They took a risk on a guy like Dabo Swinney, and he just turned out to be a home run hit. And that's not something that Wisconsin's going to do. They have their coach for the foreseeable future. But, what is it that Wisconsin has to do then to get over that hump? Would you say it is recruiting? Would you say it is a change in coaching? What is it exactly? Is it just the Jimmys and Joes, as they say?
I think practically, if you're Wisconsin, you got to find a way to get closer to the top 10 in recruiting rankings, even if it's just outside. So you're getting those guys every year, and then you can develop them. The second step, you're a run-first football team, and kind of like Stanford in the Pac-12, which I want to touch on before we close out here, but you got to find a dynamic quarterback. Clemson had Taj Boyd. He was dynamic. He was the first of this string of quarterbacks they've had. He wasn't the best. Then you have Deshaun. Deshaun was dynamic to another level. Kelly Bryant wasn't as good as Deshaun, maybe not as good as Taj, but he was still dynamic. And then Trevor Lawrence, dynamic. So you got to build the stable around him and then find that guy to take you over the top.
Yeah, and hopefully that's Graham Mertz. Very quick aside here. Do you think Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence is better?
Trevor Lawrence is the better pro prospect.
Okay. Good deflection there. Go ahead and touch on that Stanford thing that you were wanting to talk about.
Yeah. So what I did on the podcast I do, I did a 3-word summary before, I think it was 2 football seasons ago. I summarized each team in 3 words. And when I got to Wisconsin, my description for them was Pac-12 Stanford. And when I got to Stanford, it was Wisconsin was Big Ten Stanford, and Stanford was Pac-12 Wisconsin. They just kind of ring true of a lot of the same things. Solid coach, stable program. Their colors are red and white. They like to run the football first and throw it second. Their quarterbacks are always kind of similar, tall build, not necessarily a mobile guy. They're programs that don't really get in trouble a lot. You don't hear their names in the news. So I that's just kind of a feel thing. And then you look it up statistically over the past 9 years, I guess. So since 2010, the Cardinal have 94 wins and Wisconsin has 92. And I think that just says a lot about both.
Yeah, I think back to that Rose Bowl that Wisconsin played against Stanford. It was the 3rd Rose Bowl in as many seasons for the Badgers. Both teams were wearing white helmets with red decals. Both teams had white pants with red stripes. And then I forget who had the red jersey with the white numbers, and then the other one was flip-flopped, and that was a nightmare to watch. But thinking back, that's such a boring, and maybe this is just me starting to realize what Wisconsin kind of is. It's just not the most exciting, but Wisconsin's so close to my heart that I just love them so much and love the things that they do. I have a lot of respect for David Shaw. I think he's a very underrated coach. Once upon a time, I wanted him to be the next head coach of the Packers, and I got my wish. Mike McCarthy was fired, but David Shaw's name was not brought up. And I don't think he really was going to leave Stanford anyways. But that's pretty much it. What other, off the top of your head, do you think there's any other similarities that you could draw Wisconsin to other teams around the country besides Stanford in any way?
Stanford's the main one. Putting me on the spot here. Not a lot of teams in the ACC run the pro style quite like Wisconsin does. I mean, you can look at, they could be Alabama light, if you want to call them that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to kind of joke as.
Play a lot of the same style as Alabama pre-Tua. And Alabama light, if I'm going to give a quick answer here.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. I was thinking a lot of maybe Notre Dame, just because Notre Dame is starting, they're starting to become one of those teams that just beats you up in the trenches, and if they lose, it's because they don't really have the dynamic athletes out on the perimeter, but they're going to give themselves a shot because of what they do in the trenches. I think that wraps it up. Did you have any closing thoughts, any hot takes or predictions about the Badgers football season coming up? We're a few months out now, but any last words?
I haven't really looked at their schedule, but don't get discontent with your expectations, because the having a stable program is huge. Having the coach is huge. Sometimes you have bad breaks and bad years, but it, continuing to build with what you have, I think the Badgers are in a great place. If Chris has a bad year, don't pull out the pitchforks. Let it develop. These kind of things take time.
Yeah, like would you rather average 9.5 to 10 wins a year every year until the end of time, or would you trade that for a few years of 12 or 13 wins if it meant as many 7 or 8 win seasons? You know, it's kind of like, what do you want? What's your expectations? A lot of teams in the SEC can't really afford that up and down. But I don't know. Anyways, Craig, tell us about what you're doing. You mentioned a podcast that you do. It's something that I guest starred on last week. Go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah, Level Headed Podcast. Just, you know, it's for all of us. It's a way to keep our foot in the door to continue to talk about sports, which we love to do. It's at LHPcast on Twitter. We talk a lot of seasonal things. So right now, NBA is huge. We'll be talking a lot of Zion Williamson this week and the injury that was and what will happen next, what it means for the NBA. So a lot of cool stuff. Give us a follow on Twitter, Level Headed Podcast.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and shout that out whenever we post this episode. Cray talks about more than just the Clemson Tigers, I promise. He's just as knowledgeable about everything else.
I rarely talk about the Tigers, if I'm being honest.
On the podcast, I'm sure.
Right. On
the- yeah. Yeah. okay, so I guess that's going to do it for episode one. I enjoyed it, Cray. Thank you so much for coming on. You said a lot of very interesting things. I'm sure a lot of it is somewhat known to Wisconsin fans, but a lot of it, it's really good to hear that there are other fan bases out there that respect what's going on in Madison.
Absolutely. Fire away. Tell me I'm wrong.
Okay. So, yeah, feel free to hit up Cray. That was at LHPcast on Twitter for his Level Headed Podcast.
Or at MCrayWRHI.
Or at MCrayWRHI. And when you're done following him, follow me on Twitter at Nessel is the name, or Locked on Badgers. That's Locked on Badgers, all one word. Rate and review this podcast. Make sure you subscribe to Locked on Badgers on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and make sure you don't miss any episodes. Like I said, we're going to be doing something similar to this sometime very, very soon. I have an interview lined up that I think is going to be more fun to do than, I don't know. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk about the Badgers basketball season starting to really ramp up as we get closer to the tournament. Let me know what you thought about today's episode. Let me know what you want me to talk about in the future. Hit me up on Twitter at Locked on Badgers, at Nessel is the name. That's all I got for today. Thank you so much for listening.